Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Thursday, April 11th. Cousin Jared, I feel like we are repeating whatever season that was, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where we were just begging for a like plus half a unit day because every day seemingly was like, we're going to win them all or lose them all. There was like no in between. And then of course you can't even profit off of that because you can't even say like, well, the first pick did this because this is how it's going to play out. Because then randomly it would even flip. It was just so much of a roller coaster. I feel like we're having that again. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Wednesday was a great day for us. After Monday and Tuesday were terrible. After Sunday was great. After Saturday was terrible. And it's just,
that's
ups and downs.
Yeah, it is. That is the, I think the only time since we've been doing this was that baseball season. And I was like, is this fun? Yeah. It got to the point where it's like, you know, the emotions couldn't handle it. And it was like, you know, every other night you were like, I'm done with it. And then the next night you were like, this is the best thing ever. We have got it figured out. And it was like that for the entire season.
I
hope. And I know you're doing a lot of work behind the scenes to, you know, to help out with that. But I hope we don't have a repeat. I don't know if the heart can take it.
Yeah, I think we did do minus ones then. I think we just did money lines back then. And I think the minus ones and the run lines will help because I think what'll happen is we've had a handful of minus ones push. You know, we had the Guardians, of course, here. On Wednesday night, you know, went by one. And I think we saw more roller coasters because we had to lay bigger odds and take bigger odds. And so we would have more nights where like the dogs just would come through to be great or they wouldn't. And we'd lose all of the favorites. We just lose a couple big favorites. And so I think now playing the minus ones and the, you know, the run lines, they go, will help balance it a little bit, but so far it's been crazy. But if you're with us over on Dub Club, we added this morning, just based off the odds changes, we added the Mariners at a B grade pick, that one, the Diamondbacks at an A grade pick, that one, the Rays at minus one, that one, the over in the Brewers and Reds, that one. So we added a bunch of great picks. We had three first five A grades that I was like, one of them I was a little bit scared of. The other two, I was like, well, we're already kind of playing them, all three of those ones. So just a great day here. Got the play of the day back on the right track here on Wednesday. So just a lot of good things. Didn't win every single one, of course, but had a lot of good things. But even then, I still feel like we're getting some bad luck here. And I watch a lot of baseball, and I'm the first to tell you, like, we'll have good variants, we'll have bad variants, and I'll talk about when we get lucky and we have wins we shouldn't get. I don't feel like we've had many of those this year. Even thinking through, like today, you know, we had the Cardinals, and we didn't have a huge edge on it, but we thought, you know, the Cardinals made a lot of sense. If their center fielder catches a routine fly ball in the first inning, they win that game, whatever, 2-1, 3-2, whatever, 3-2. I guess they win 3-2 because there were two runs there that were unearned that – I mean, just he overran it by multiple feet, then tried to come back and it hits his glove. I mean, it's just terrible. Yeah. And things like that, like, I don't know. Maybe there's some good, I'm sure there's some good luck things helping us. I just feel like I'm not seeing them. The over, you know, in that afternoon game with the Dodgers Twins, we had a B grade first five over, which hits, and then there are no more runs scored the rest of the game. Like, what's up with that? You know, so, you know, it's just been a weird season so far. And I think my main thought on this is we have these types of runs where things get weird. A lot of times if they happen in June or July, you're just kind of in the middle of it. You're like, whatever, like we just grin and bear it. But like early on, it kind of hurts a little bit more. But it's a great day on Wednesday. Hopefully we can keep it rolling on Thursday. But remember, extra picks, first five, run line, all sorts of summaries, information, details, picks when you can't watch the show, when we aren't able to have a show in the Discord chat group, all over there on Dub Club. QR code is linked in the show description. Get you a 10-day free trial to start you out. We have some of the best retention numbers on Dub Club. Obviously, it's not perfect for everybody. If it's not for you, that's fine. That's okay. If it's not for you, I don't want you to do something that's not for you, but check it out. A lot of people seem to like the information, the details, the summary, the Discord chat. We have just a phenomenal group of people over there. Check that out if you have not yet. Before we get started, some quick reminders, information about Sideline and the community rules. PicksWithTheProfessor.com/new. Remember, no negative Nancy's here, right? We want positive vibes only. We know when things are good. We know when things are bad. We like to just keep things positive around here. No need for negativity because we're all humans. And when things are good, I'm trying to make things better. And when things are not, I'm trying to make things better harder. So it's always trying to improve. I'm my biggest critic. So, you know, we got to keep things positive here because I'm always working to make things better for you. We are projecting the average game. One game is unknown. We have no idea what will happen in one game. We are talking about long-term probabilities, and that's how we profit here, not because I know what will happen tomorrow, but because if we're playing good prices and good numbers in the long run, by playing the better prices, we will win more than we lose because we are going to win some and we're going to lose some. There are no locks in gambling. Take what you like and leave the rest, but we like it when you like it. Please like this show. It helps others find us. Whew. I try to get fast because I feel like that was a really long intro and I was like, people want to get to the picks. So we got to just kind of do all that. 12:20 p.m. Eastern, Mets at the Braves. What looks to be, at this point, at least listed pitchers per the interwebs is the two guys that were going to go yesterday here, Wednesday, with the rain out, Jose Quintana and Alan Winans. So we've talked about this game already. The Braves are just an incredible baseball team. Great offense. They have the edge at starting pitching here. Quintana's looked good his first two starts, but the underlying metrics still make me concerned and think that the Braves should be able to put up some runs off of them. The Braves' bullpen is great. Mets relievers might actually be the strength of their team, which is, I mean, a very Mets thing to happen. Mm-hmm. Walls projecting 8.7 runs. That's going to give us under 9.5 as an A-grade pick on this. Cousin Jared, I mentioned on show yesterday that in some of the tweaks, some of the updates to the model, knowing that totals just have not gone well for us, trying to figure out why, what's going on, how much of this is early season baseball pitchers not figuring it out, how much of this is managers trying to get guys in the bullpen and that sort of thing, how much of it is the baseball, how much of it is the temperature, et cetera, really trying to do everything we can to not take unders. Yeah. And I don't mean that literally. I just mean kind of saying we're trying to boost everything up. We're trying to not overreact to the cold. And just like I said yesterday with that game in Coors where I said, hey, there's no reason for this total to be 12.5. We took the under at an A grade. There was no reason for it to be 12. I saw closer to the first pitch, it was 11. The model said 10 point something. And that was a pretty easy under winner for us. It's the same thing here. I'm trying to not have us take unders. And yet the model's still saying A grade under 9.5. The Braves unders have not been incredible, just like the Coors unders haven't been incredible because it's Coors. But knowing the adjustments I've made, I've just got to go with it here. Model gives a 7% decrease to the runs based off the weather. And again, that's kind of tamped down based off what we're seeing here so far, largely because the wind will be blowing a little bit in, a little bit across, chilly enough weather that the ball shouldn't carry too much. The Braves have a great offense, but you never really trust the Mets to score that many. They did come back and score a bunch of runs in the earlier game of the series, whatever that was, Tuesday. And that game got to 6-5. But I mean, that was heading for an under. If you're watching the game, you had to feel like under was the right call. Yeah. And there were just some crazy late runs. But you play that game again, I like our chances. I think under 9.5 makes a lot of sense. Cousin Jared, what's your take?
Yeah, I like the under here as well. Although I have to say, it hurts my feelings that you're trying to tell sideline not to play as many unders.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not my brand. But I would have to say, I think that them not playing today as of this recording, yesterday as of the time you're watching this, that Braves bullpen giving up all the runs late kind of surprised me. I think everybody getting a day of rest there, you're not going to have any guys needing to, you know, take a day off because they already just got a day off. And so I think really for me, it's the Braves bullpen. I mean, they got an edge starting pitcher too, but relative to the rest of the pitching staff, starting pitcher here, just okay. But once you get that Braves bullpen, like you can say about the Braves in a lot of ways, so many strengths, the bullpen, one of those. And so I think that that's a difference for me. I don't trust the Mets to score very many runs in general, and especially when you've got a fresh Braves bullpen, I don't think they're going to have a tough time.
And that's one of the benefits, one of the things that Sideline sees in this. It is a fairly intricate model with the way I've coded it to look at a couple different variables. Again, I'm not a believer in black box AI that we don't understand. Everything that I do, I can explain exactly what's happening. And without getting too much in the weeds, the model's looking at a guy like Winans and saying he may not go deep. He may not be able to go very far in this game, which is absolutely true. The Braves are going to treat any of their young pitchers, I feel like, with kid gloves, especially with what happened with Strider here. Yeah. They've got so many good bullpen arms. And like you said, that day off, that kind of helps alleviate that because they have so many good bullpen arms. You contrast that with a team with a weaker pen that might need him to go longer or might struggle if he can't go longer. If he can't go that deep, the Braves are fine with, the, with how many relievers they have. So it kind of offsets that. The Mets relievers aren't bad as well. And like we said, we never really trust them to score runs. So the model projects 8.7, the most likely outcomes in this, 8 and 9 runs. Under 9.5 makes for an A grade, minus 110 odds is also very nice. 110 p.m. Eastern, Brewers and the Reds. I mentioned yesterday we'd probably be on the Brewers. We had a weak lean to the Brewers, who looked to be cleaning up so far. But again, we gave out the A grade over on this game in the morning once a line came out. So again, that's one of the reasons to be on Dub Club. A lot of extra good picks there. Today, we're A grade, but not on the total on the side. And I've been saying it all season, we're mostly going to be fading the Reds. And you saw it here again Wednesday. I mean, the game's not over yet, so maybe the Reds make a miracle comeback. But I mean, they just... their bullpen is rough. If they fall behind, they're mostly in trouble. Their offense isn't that great, especially with the fact that they've got 2 to 3 regulars, really 3 regulars out. And in this one, it's a massive starting pitcher mismatch. Freddy Peralta's one of the stronger pitchers in baseball. Looked great his first 2 starts. Underlying metrics look great. I mean, a 78 grade, once you get into the 70s, you're a really good pitcher. Bullpen-wise, we like the Brewers. Nick Martinez for the Reds hasn't looked good so far. Underlying metrics, very meh. Last season before that, very meh. Always been a guy that you never really can trust. Anything can happen in one game, but the model says the Brewers win this 60% of the time. That makes minus 118 a strong play. Because, Jared, this to me feels like play of the day territory. We did not make it play of the day for a specific reason that we don't need to talk about on show. We could talk about it over our Discord because I can tell you exactly why. But this is kind of like play of the day worthy, in my opinion. Not to say it's a lock. There are no locks in gambling. But any price near even money seems like a steal in Freddy Peralta versus Nick Martinez, knowing the Brewers also have the edge everywhere else. Right. Cousin Jared, how much do you love this pick?
I like it quite a bit. And the main reason being, you talked about the starting pitching edge. So, of course, that's a big factor for me. But also, you talked about the weather. You talked about, earlier you talked about the cold weather and sidelines saying that everything needs to go under and trying to adjust it to play some overs. The thing about Cincinnati is the park factors in general, outside of like maybe Fenway Park, and I'm sure there's probably like one or two others, but just the natural park factors of the park there in Cincinnati lend itself to scoring a lot of runs. And so I think the discrepancy that you're seeing here is this 2 standard deviations, 1 standard deviation, 2 standard deviations difference.
Almost 2 in the bullpen too.
Yeah. I think that is even more magnified in a park like Cincinnati, where it's just going to naturally lend itself to runs. And if you're the Reds and throwing, you know, there's a reason that the Reds have played the way they have with their poor bullpen. Their park is not doing them any favors at all. And so I think the pitching mismatch is just exasperated here because of, you know, how the park plays in general. So yeah, like the Brewers here, I think a starting pitching edge goes further here than it does in most parks.
Yeah, starting pitcher edge is 2 standard deviations, bullpen 2 standard deviations, top relievers not quite 2. But yeah, just big differentials here between the pitchers. And I think maybe another way that you're – another thing you can try to say to that is what we talk about at college basketball a lot, which is, you know, a team that really can slow down the pace can minimize some of those edges by minimizing the number of possessions and kind of say, hey, we're going to play a 7-possession game out of this. Obviously not 7, but they're trying to, right?
Well, Virginia, but yeah.
Virginia might be trying to, yeah. and can kind of help overcome some of their deficiencies. But when, you know, playing in Cincinnati is almost a little bit like, you know, playing up tempo, that you're going to have a lot of runs. And with those pitchers, it just like, it's like an interaction effect of they're not good to start with. They're going to give up runs. They're going to give up even more runs. The Brewers' weakness is their offense. But as you've seen in this series, playing in Cincinnati, they have no problem scoring runs. How much of that's the park? How much of that's the pitchers? Who cares? Let's take advantage of it either way. They've been good to us this series so far. I believe they came through for us on Tuesday. They got the total for Wednesday. And then Monday was the game they started off down huge. It almost came back and won. Illustrating just how weak that Reds bullpen is. Everything was stacked against them from the start, and they still almost got it done. We're going to see if they can't finish it out here with a winner. But as always, folks, remember, shop around for the best price. Every nickel and dime you can save can help you. It'll help you when you're losing, save money. It'll help you when you're winning, stack up more units. If you haven't checked them out yet, BetUS, link in the show description will get you a 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Also at 1:10 p.m., Eastern Twins and the Tigers. This one will be a nice day in Detroit, around 60 degrees, slight breeze blowing in. That will keep the number of runs scored a little bit lower. Honestly, the Twins, it's kind of the style of baseball that they want to play anyway. As you saw here in the matinee against the Dodgers, they're a little bit weaker on offense without Royce Lewis, but they're bullpen seems to be doing a good enough job. They're pitching a good enough job to keep them in games. And that's exactly what we expect here. Really a coin toss game specifically here. Can't really say what's going to happen either way. So this is really all about the price. This should be priced at minus 105 aside, minus 110 aside. But we're getting plus 113 on the Twins. That makes for a B grade. Cousin Jared, I feel like I might be preaching to the choir here. But I do think it is important to remind people, because probability is weird and random events are weird. We would say that rolling a die is a random event. However, we know the probability of landing on any specific number. So that's why when you have a game like craps, we can calculate the probabilities, the edges, etc., because each roll is random, but we do know the underlying probabilities, and thus in the long run, we know what will happen. We don't know what happened in one game. Sports get weirder because the same phenomenon happens, except we also don't know the underlying probabilities. We use a model to help us assess that. But it goes back to what we're saying. Each roll of the die, each game is a random event, but the probability isn't what's random underlying it. And that's where we're saying here, this is a 50-50 type game. It's like rolling a die and saying, I'm going to get an even number or an odd number. Well, we don't know which one you're going to get when you roll it one time, but we do know if you do it 1,000 times, you'll be pretty close to 500 a pop. And that's what we're saying here. This is pretty dang 50-50, but at the plus 113 makes us a good long-term play. Why is it a good long-term play? In baseball, there are 2,500 games over the course of the season. If we can identify, you know, 500 of these and go 250 and 250, we're going to make us like 7-8 units just right there. And it's a grind, but it's a slow and steady profit-making machine. And that's what we're looking here for here. Cousin Jared, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah. So I would say, man, Tariq Skubal, very good. Very good pitcher.
Very good.
So is Pablo Lopez. And to me, both of these teams have just been meh so far this season. I mean, the Tigers have a better record. The Twins just
played the Mets, and who else? They played someone else that was rough, I think.
Well, they lost 2 out of 3 to the A's. The Twins just lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. So where I'm getting with this is, like, I don't really feel like you can compare the records necessarily because the caliber of teams that they have played are not exactly the same. And maybe the Tigers will be better this year. Maybe the Twins are going to have a down year. I don't know. I just, as of April 10th that we're recording this, I have so much more faith in the Twins offense. And we know that they have a propensity to strike out a lot. And with a guy like Skubal on the mound, 100%, if you told me that the Twins were going to strike out like 15 times in this game, I would say, okay,
yeah, sure.
That's not abnormal. But I still just have a lot more faith. When they do make contact, they make good contact. And so I just have a lot more faith in the Twins offense than I do in the Tigers offense. And so to me, this feels like a toss-up game, two good starting pitchers, slightly better offense on one side. I'm getting plus odds to back that team. So to me, this is just kind of a logic play more so than I feel – super strong about any one thing in particular.
This game is fascinating to me. This might be our first total of 7 on the season. I'm not sure I've seen a 7 Yet I've only seen 7.5s to my knowledge. Models projecting 6.9. So I mean, the models are right there. Be like, there shouldn't be a lot of runs. It makes sense. These two pitchers are two of the best pitchers in baseball, and they don't really get a lot of love. Maybe because their markets, I guess. I'm not really sure. But I kind of skipped over that at the start. But yes, Pablo Lopez and Tarik Skubal, just phenomenal. First two starts, great. Underlying metrics, great. I mean, just nothing more to say. I don't have to say the great, great pitching here. Like, you know, Twins a little bit better offense, maybe a little better bullpen, but you know, I think it goes back to kind of what we said in the last game. The flip side of it, though, this one won't have a lot of runs. Great pitching, good bullpens, plus 113, sure. Because I mean, this game is likely to be 4-3, 3-2, 2-1, right? And it's like you said, at that point, hey, if you're in that type of game, let's at least for now, we kind of trust the Twins a little bit more. Skubal's very good. So is Pablo Lopez. He's been a guy we love to back. So be a great play on the Twins at plus 113. UBM Eastern Astros and the Royals cash this over pretty easily here, about halfway through the game, as I think our read on that one was pretty accurate with the Astros just having a lot of issues at this point with pitching. You know, too many injuries.
Yep.
Really. Right.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? They'll throw Hunter Brown here, who's been a mixed bag so far to start the season against Brady Singer, who's looked really good, looks revitalized here for the Royals. The Astros are favoring this one. We're going to take the Astros at minus 130. It's a B-grade pick. Here's the reason why. Number one, Hunter Brown, his last start, definitely fell apart. I'm going to give him one more chance, right, to kind of see if we can get back on track. Number two, well, the Astros bullpen has struggled and has definitely been a little bit overworked here these last couple of days. The Astros offense is just a lot better than the Royals offense. I don't want the first 10 games of the season for us to lose sight of that fact. And as much overworked as the Astros bullpen is, the fact that Wednesday night game here wasn't competitive, it at least helps them kind of figure out who they want to use and who they want to burn, who they don't want to burn. Mm-hmm. Helps that a little bit. You know, I think we are at the point of the season where we're going to start making some plays like this on a team that maybe hasn't looked great so far, and it be like, you know, we don't want to overreact to just a handful of games. Every team looks bad for a handful of games. The Astros should be bigger favorites than this based on the fact that their offense is a lot better and their bullpen is a lot better. And while Singer has looked good, this price implies that Singer is a lot better than Hunter Brown doing everything else. He might be. So far, these first two starts, he's looked great. I can see more from both of these guys before I feel confident about that. So we got the Astros at minus 130, B grade pick. Model says they win 57% of the time. And to get to the price that the market has it at, like I said, I just think that you'd have to think that Singer is for sure all the way back and the much better starting pitcher. And I'm not convinced that's the case. Even if that is the case, the Astros still got a shot to win this game. That offense can win any game. As you saw on Monday night against the defending World Series champions, when they started off down 5-0 because their pitcher couldn't find a strike zone. You, as I am an Astros fan, it's not been a great start to the season, but you know, they're going to win some games eventually, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody who has watched this show for any length of time knows that I will be the first ones to tell you when I feel like my team's in trouble. And hoo boy, I got a bad feeling. Before we came on, I was like, this is like looking like the 111 loss team that I set through in 2011 or 2012, whichever year it was. They all run together because we all lost so many games in all of those seasons. What you said is correct. Like, I know factually, I know you stated facts. Yep. I cannot argue with that. My heart does not feel as good about it as maybe the statistics and sideline actually says, the advanced analysis there. But I cannot deny the Astros offense is still good. And it is going to have plenty of games this season where it is going to pull out the game and win it for them. It may be 10-9, maybe 10-8, something like that. But that offense is good enough to win them lots of games. I know that's a fact. Just hasn't been what we've seen so far this season. So
it has not. This game could get interesting We're talking about 20 to 25 mile an hour winds right now. Questionable in the direction. It's like, what do I say in lieu of a gust of wind? Because I want to say a gust of wind and this, but I'm talking about wind. So what's, there's some equivalent to that, right? Mm-hmm. Something change, small change, whatever you want to call it. You know, a butterfly flaps his wings, mm-hmm. and that wind's going to be blowing in from left field. And all of a sudden, you're going to be talking about a game where I know it's a hitter-friendly park. I know the Astros offense is good. I know the Royals bullpen isn't. But you're going to be struggling to get the seven runs. He shifts a little bit to the side, and all of a sudden, no big deal, and this game might have double digit runs. So a lot of variance there in the total. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But either way, at least at this point in the season, and this is the last time. This is the last time I'm going to say this about it. We're going to – Brady Singer was a guy we loved back 2 years ago. Last year, dreadful. He looks good so far. Hunter Brown's a guy coming into the season – I really think we're going to see more of the early season Hunter Brown from last year, not the late season. We're two games in, a big game to see for these guys going forward, because now we're adding 50% more data to see how they go. If Hunter Brown blows up, if Brady Singer looks good, we'll change our tune next time out. But at least for now, with only two games under the belt, I'm just going to sit back and say, look, I think both pitchers are solid. The Astros have enough edges over Royals. They should be bigger favorites. And let's not overreact to this early season start. Plenty of teams have started slow, had bad stretches, middle, early, whatever. And that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. For instance, this Marlins team just beat the Yankees tonight, right? They aren't a what would 1 in 10 translate to over the course of the season, right? Or whatever, you know, 25 win team, right?
Yeah.
They are better than that. So they're obviously not a 100 win team, but let's not overreact. Astros minus 130. This price should be a little bit higher. Gets us to a B grade. So we're going to take them there. Then one other afternoon game, also involving a Texas team, A's and the Rangers. Looks like we're going to get the Rangers here at the minus 1.5, a game that I sent out to our dub clubbers this morning and said, hey, as of this morning, it had reached A grade threshold. So it was B grade threshold. On the show last night, the price got a little bit better. And so it looks like we're going to get a winner there. We're going to go back to the well here again. Rangers minus one, A grade pick. Because you know, we've backed Oakland a couple times here and there, and we'll back them plenty more. Again, same story I've been talking about, right? Their bullpen isn't good, but they've got a couple decent arms. Their offense isn't good, but it's not terrible. A lot of their starting pitchers are just very mediocre. It's just tough to win against a team like the Rangers on the road when they're just outmatched all over the field. The Rangers have a much better offense. John Gray has been pretty shaky, but no less shaky than J.P. Sears. If either one of these guys does anything, I expect it to be Gray. And if not, we'll turn it over to the bullpens, and I trust that the Rangers can find – the A's are going to find seven good innings out of their pit. I can guarantee you that. No. The Rangers might. The Rangers might not, but they got a shot at least. So we've got the Rangers winning this almost a little over two out of three times, making the Rangers minus one. And A-grade. As with anything in this, of course, you could take the run line, you take the money line. I love the minus one personally, just from a mental health standpoint of the minus 1.5 can be so infuriating when, you know, you have the home team or you have a team that just ekes one out. You lose a little bit of the payout. But you know, it helps you there. And the minus one's better for when the team loses, because your odds are a little bit better. You do lose some of the times that you would win, but if you're playing those big odds, you aren't going to win that much anyway. So I think it's a perfect middle ground. Personally, I like the balance of this, but again, to each their own. Cousin Jared, how are you looking to play this game?
Well, the example that I will give in support of your argument is Tuesday with the Braves and the Mets, and the Braves are up 6-0 or whatever. I turned the game off. Why am I watching a game where it's 6-0 in the eighth inning? And then the Mets come back and lose only 6-5. And so I did not do what you said. I took the run line with the Braves, and so I lost while you essentially pushed. So
then essentially just literally pushed.
Yeah, you pushed
one lost the other and got back exactly what put in.
Yeah. I did not. I'm a loser. So with that in mind, in this situation, I would take Rangers on the run line. I have no problem doing that. Like you
love it.
You have to like look at the like the Rangers are a good team, we know that. The A's are terrible. Like, look at from a mathematical perspective, what was the A's run differential last year?
It was negative 9 trillion or something.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so I don't think that the A's have done anything to close that gap anywhere. And I'm not going to argue with, you know, if you want to do Rangers minus one, that's fine. I think I would take the run line here. It's just one of those things where the A's are just so bad. I think probably when I'm looking at this, I look more at like how bad is the bad team, more so than how good is the good team, because there's lots of good teams. There's not quite as many teams as bad as the A's is.
Yeah, I mean the White Sox, the Rockies. Rockies
on the road, maybe.
Rockies on the road for sure.
Like that may be the list. That may be the list.
The last thing to say about this game, the A's entering Wednesday had covered the run line six straight games. But caveat to that. Number one, as we just talked about the Astros, it's a small sample size early season. They aren't going to go 80% or whatever on the run line for the season.
Yeah.
They won't be favored hardly at all. So they'll almost always be on the run line plus one and a half. Number two, and the more important thing about that is look at the situation there. All of those games were at home and a pitcher friendly ballpark with literally, Cousin Jared, I've been there, miles of foul territory for pop flies against the Red Sox, who are not our father's Red Sox, right? They are a pitching oriented team, and against the Tigers, who are a pitching oriented team, and then they won the first game against the Rangers. That is very different than playing in a hitter friendly ballpark in Arlington that's got one of the higher park factors once you get past Fenway, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Coors. I might be forgetting one, but your top, like, you know, out of your top five, I think the Rangers might be their top 10 for sure.
Yep.
And in hitter friendly ballparks. The model knows that. The model looks at the expected number of runs, and it calculates that in its run line probability calculations. So when the A's are at home, we are going to give them a better chance to lose by one, and that will be reflected in what we pick and how we pick, because what the pick specifically is a combination of the edge differential and the probability we win. So it's all about combination of can we make money, and if so, how much money can we make? And at Oakland, it's a little bit of a different story to lay the run and a half, because they are more likely to keep it close to a low scoring game other than maybe a day game. But on the road, it's a different story. So I'm with you at this point. The Rangers money line is a perfectly fine play. I personally like the minus one, because Jared, you like the run line. Of course, you can find the exact edges, the exact thresholds, everything. All that information is provided on Dub Club for every single game. In this game specifically, I'll make the comment, the edges are pretty similar across the board for all of them. That's not always the case, but all that information is available for you to dive in if you're with us over on Dub Club. Evening slate, two games here, Pirates and the Phillies. This will be Jared Jones and Ranger Suarez, two pitchers that have looked pretty similar this season with results. Underlying metrics so far, like Jared Jones more. He's obviously a young kid, a prospect, highly regarded. Ranger Suarez has a history of being a very respectable pitcher. You know, if you look hard enough, and depending on kind of which eye you close, you could talk yourself into Jared Jones being the better pitcher here. I'm not saying he is. The model still gives a slight edge to Suarez here. But he's looked good so far this year, and the idea of translating prospect and minor league stats is not quite an exact science. And a guy like Ranger Suarez has been a little bit up and down all over the place. There's a very good chance, Thursday night rolls around and Jared Jones is the better pitcher. What's the probability of that? I don't know, 40%, 45%, something like that. But it's not a huge edge for the Phillies here. Bullpen wise, both these bullpens are solid. The concern with the Pirates is that Bednar does not know where the ball's going. And that's a bad thing for two reasons. Number one, sometimes the ball doesn't go anywhere near the plate, and that leads to what we call a walk. Other times the ball goes right over the middle of the plate, and that's what leads to what we call hard contact and hits. So that's a problem, because he's a really good pitcher. The good news for the Pirates, they have a lot of other really good pitchers in their bullpen. The setup guy, Chapman, is one who has similar issues at times. They got to figure out what's going on with him. He's got to be able to find his location, his release point, whatever the heck's going on with him. Other than that, though, the model says the Pirates have the better offense. What a time to be alive here, as this Phillies team just really seems to struggle on offense. They've obviously got a really good hitter in Bryce Harper. Schwarber can hold his own, but you get past those two guys in Turner and it starts to fall off pretty quickly. Realmuto is not quite the guy he was a few years ago. They've got a handful of guys playing in that lineup that are just not great hitters. Whereas the Pirates have some depth. I can't believe we're saying this, but the Pirates have an edge on offense here. That makes this close to a coin toss game. Not exactly. The Phillies are favored and they should be favored, but they shouldn't be favored by as much. That's going to make us in the Pirates plus 130. Be great picks. The model says they can win this 46% of the time. So if we can win this close to 50% of the time, it makes plus 130 a pretty good investment. Cousin Jared, backing the Pirates at the Phillies, and we're not even getting like plus 200. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, and I mean, I would like to take credit that I, and wow, a Reds guy just made an amazing catch going into the stands. That was a heck of a catch. Anyway,
More exciting than when I was on show and live narrated everyone Trevor Story, you know, jacking up his shoulder, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't unsee it. I just saw that. That looked really bad.
That was a nice catch in foul territory there. Okay, so first thing I want to say is I will, take the bullet here and say that I broke the Pirates curse last week when I was on the show, picked them to win and they won that game against the Nationals, I believe. And I'll say what I said last week. I'll say it again. We have multiple instances now of the Pirates starting a season well. Wheels are probably going to come off at some point. I don't know when that's going to be, but until the wheels come off, I am going to be riding with the Pirates. My other question that I have is like, how soon can we see Paul Skenes in the big leagues? I mean, you want to talk about pitching. The guy, I don't know what he has to do. I mean, I know like all of the reasons why he's not called up. But, I think for the good of everybody, I would love to see him up. The other thing is Ranger Suarez. I feel like sideline might be a little high on him. And he has been – last year, he was fine. Last year, the 2 years before that, he was good. Last year, he was just fine. I just am not sold. If I am getting Ranger Suarez from 2023 in this game, then love the Pirates. If you told me I was getting like 2022, 2021 Ranger Suarez, okay, maybe I have some concerns. But I'm going to need to see him go back to that level of form. And again, he hasn't been bad. He just, in my mind, I think he's more of a 96, 97, 98 pitcher, whereas sideline right now has him a 91. So, Suarez is one of those that I have kept an eye on because it's like, is he really that good? Still asking myself that question. So I'll be interested to see how he does.
And we talked about this a little bit before show. Suarez, I think, is a guy that might have a little bit wider than usual error bands because of his injury history, his weird history of like, he's a reliever, he's a starter, he's a reliever, he's a starter, stretching like that whole weird thing. He's starting to get to the point now where that's not the case and he's just been the starter or whatever, but he still has some of the injury stuff. So his error bands, of course, are shrinking, but they are still there. And of course, Joneses are through the roof, right? As a young guy like this, like he's a guy that is going to move up or down based off how well he does as fast as anybody as these young guys are. So, 100 rating right now, but if he keeps pitching the way he did those first two starts, he will be down in the 80s in like 3 weeks. Right. So he might be a lot better. We just don't know at this point. Again, we're taking the minor league data and the prospect ratings on and trying to figure all that out, but it's the error bands are just a lot bigger. So, another possible edge the Pirates have here. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it seems like if the wheels are coming off in the Pirates, it might be because we're counting on their bullpen too much. And I can't believe to say that you would think their offense, because the offense is what was last year where they had a couple injuries and they just then couldn't hit the ball at all. They had a month-long stretch, I think, where they scored more than three runs like one time.
Yeah.
And this year it's like the offense isn't a concern at all, it seems like, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I'll to reference another thing that we talked about last time, I just – If the Pirates are going to continue playing well all season, they got to have Mitch Keller from the first half of last season. You got to have Mitch Keller from 2022, not the Mitch Keller of the second half of last season or some of the periodic things that we've seen so far this season, because the rest of their team is not strong enough to have him just going out there and just being average. He needs to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have the depth. They need everything to go right for them. Of course, they're going to stay competitive, but it's always a fun story. Again, beautiful place to watch ball game. In-state rivalry here, we take the Pirates plus odds. B be a great pick. And folks, the last thing I want to say about this game, of course, is as a reminder, right, we say take what you like and leave the rest. Don't bet something you don't like. Sometimes we use the model to help us decide what not to bet as well. So while I think the Pirates are a decent investment, the other possibility you could take from this discussion is that maybe the Phillies at the current price of, you know, minus 150 or whatever it is, that would imply that they win 60% of the time. And so if you don't like the Pirates, that's fine. Maybe it's just trying to say, hey, the Phillies are just priced a little bit too high and it's not a good long-term investment. Doesn't mean anybody's going to win. We don't know who's going to win. Somebody won this game. Somebody in hindsight will be a good bet. But ahead of time, we have to say, is the price worth it, i.e. is the reward worth the risk? And the idea is that the Phillies risk at minus 150 not worth the reward, because this game is closer to a coin toss than the odds would suggest. So versus Pirates or pass, like the Pirates here, B grade plus 130. And we'll wrap up with Orioles and Red Sox, our first game of the day here with no official pick. As of right now, this one doesn't have the greatest angle on it. We might look for a first five. If I had to play something on this one, Cousin Jared, right now, I would be looking at the over nine. It's plus odds right now. We got the over on Wednesday night. If I had to, I'd be looking at that. I would not be playing over 9.5, but there's really just no rush to lock this in because the over is not the greatest value in the world. With regards to the side, I don't think there's any value at all. The Orioles are the slightest of favorites according to the market, and they are the slightest of favorites according to sideline. We are in lockstep with the market on this one. Two really good starting pitchers in Grayson Rodriguez and Garrett Whitlock, who both on the cusp of getting into the 70s, great starting pitching. Orioles, better offense, better bullpen, but on the road, balances out to be a coin toss-ish game. Cousin Jared, how would you tell people to play this game if they had to?
I don't know how you could watch the first two games from this series and not like the over. And then not only that, but Jackson Holliday coming up for the Orioles, you think that's only going to help their offense that's already pretty good. I mean, we talked about, you know, the way that the park plays in Cincinnati. Fenway, of course, always good for runs. So, yeah, just knowing what we know now, I'd be hard-pressed to say that the under or the over, whether it's first five, you know. Personally, that's why I would wait until the morning here. I think I'm going to like the over first five, full game, which one's going to have a better, you know, edge for me there. But, yeah, not sure how you can't like the over.
Yeah, the concern, of course, is these two pitchers are really good. But we had two good pitchers on Monday, and that game pushed the total, got to eight. And those pitchers, of course, is fantastic.
Yeah,
and so that still got to the total and pushed it, of course. So we've got a push, and we've had an over. And like you said, it's really about the park here, and that runs can just come in a hurry, and you saw it on Wednesday night. Doesn't matter how good the pitchers are. That park is weird. Routine outs turn into doubles depending on where they're hit, and, you know, turn into home runs depending on where they're hit. And again, there is no foul territory, so you're getting zero help whatsoever in that ballpark. So that's why the park factor is so high there. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. It's over pass. If it's 9.5, goodness gracious, that would be terrible. I don't see it being 9.5 because right now the over nine is plus odds. So if it gets to 9.5, that means people were hammering the over, and we missed the boat, I guess. But I'm like you, let's see what happens in the first five. Might have an official pick in the morning. We will find out. But all those updates, as always, delivered to Dub Club, where you get updates when starting pitchers change, updates on the weather, all sorts of summaries, all sorts of benefits. Check it out if you haven't yet. That link is in the show description. You also get the play of the day, which has historically been very strong. Very up and down so far to start this season, but we got the winner here on Wednesday. Maybe that can keep us rolling into Thursday. Cousin Jared, parting words before we sign off.
College basketball season's over. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, major props to all the work that you and Jake do for college basketball season. But now we can all turn the page. 135 days until college football season starts. So I know that you're so excited to hear me say that.
I mean, to be fair, football was incredible. For us this last year. So folks, if you're only with us for baseball, stick around for football, because we had a banner year in both college football and NFL with tons and tons of profits. So it was a great football season for us. And hopefully it's always more fun in the off season coming off a season like that to look forward to. Yeah. Hopefully doing it again. So We'll be back doing football soon enough, but for now it's baseball. Hockey model also over there still. Dub club that just continues to be a very slow and steady long-term profitability, but very variable. One night can be great or terrible, just complete ups and downs, craziness.
Yeah. Talk about roller coaster.
Been a roller coaster.
Hockey is that.
Hockey is that. We kind of knew it coming in, but I found that was good insight if you are looking to play hockey. And because you're over there telling people on Discord, highlighting some of your favorite picks in the night, and you're doing pretty well with that. So if people want to bet some hockey, the Dub Club is the place to be for some hockey.
So if it gets cursed now, it's your fault. Yes. I wasn't going to say that I had done pretty well, but I've done okay as of recent. And I didn't want to change it up, but there you go.
I would say more than okay. I think you're okay because I brought it up. If you had brought it up, maybe that would have been the curse. But okay. I think since I brought it up, I think we're fine. You know, weren't, you know, being prideful there. I was bragging on you and your hockey expertise. As always, we love your insights. The way you know the model, track the model, can see things, always provides us good benefit. So again, if you're with us on Dub Club Discord chat, tag me, tag Cousin Jared, tag Jake as well, and ask us questions. We love to help out. Best of luck here on a shortened slate for Thursday. We'll be back for a full slate Friday as always. Though remember, you can technically eat betting money, but we ask that you please do not bet your eating money.